Come Wednesday morning, Susan and I and our family will be heading back down to Mexico. Brent was there looking after things, and Joey will be leaving out Wednesday or Thursday. So we'll be there to take care of the church this coming week. So I won't have an opportunity to see you much past tomorrow afternoon. But it's been a blessing to be here. I thank each and every one of you for your support again to us, for your prayers to us. The church here has meant a lot to me over the many years. You took me in when no one else in this country would have, as a missionary. You stood behind me when probably you shouldn't have. And I pray that the Lord has blessed you for it, because I've been deeply blessed. And tonight I'd like to thank and at least take notice to the benefit of my wife and my children, that I appreciate them also.
Amen.
A missionary can be destroyed by his family.
That's right.
And I appreciate Susan. She's being raised in Mexico. She actually enjoys the culture there. She actually desires it more than she does here in the States. And the people there in Mexico notice it, and she is a real blessing to some of the ladies there, because she can communicate with them in a way that I can and many of the others can't. She understands how they feel and see things, and I appreciate her for not only being willing but even desiring to be there. My little girls, I got three young girls, and they don't despise Mexico. Sometimes Wendy thinks she's missing out. Maybe she's getting to be a teenager, but she's willing to be involved with the young people and I appreciate them. And then it's been a real blessing the last couple of years watching my son. Amen. We talked about second year missionaries, and I guess I'm a second generation missionary, as well as many of us, Bill and Joey is, but I may have a third generation missionary.
Amen.
And he's preaching up a storm down there.
Amen.
I'm proud of you, Michael, wherever you are. Send him, find him. Where'd he go? But the Lord has blessed us in watching our son take a desire into work. He'd like to be a missionary. You pray for him. There's a lot of obstacles that are going to stand in his way. And then Satan will try to discourage him. He'll get in with pride and who knows what all. But you pray that the Lord would do his work.
Amen.
He's got an opportunity. He's learning the language. He's learning the culture. He's got a chance to be God's servant there in a mission field. Or you pray that the Lord would preserve him. We have been working, as most of you know, in a little different situation this last 6 months. Bill and Joe have, because of the economic situation, it's cheaper to borrow money here in the States and build a house than it is to rent one, and give them a little investment, as all of you here in the States have in some way. And so they put a new meaning in the word working missionaries. Brent and I went out one night, and we was having preaching the street, and this lady acted real interesting. We talked with her a while, and then her husband showed up from work, and he shook my hand and introduced myself, and we talked for a while, and we got ready to leave, and he says, "Before you go, could I look at your hands?" And he, you know, don't read my palm, you know. So I showed him my hands, and he says, "What do you do?" We've been working hard down there. I haven't written any of you a letter personally. Susan's taking care of some of that, most of that. We're trying to get some things taken away. We got another 6 months probably in Joe's house. And then the Lord has blessed that they can have their own place. They don't have to worry about getting kicked out. Bill and Debbie won't have to worry about the roof literally caving in on them. The house they were renting was coming apart. It was on a fault. The ground is moving. And so it's a blessing of the Lord for them. And we pray that this will serve them better. And it's given me an opportunity to do what I do best, instead of being out of my particular expertise, and because I'm first a builder before I am much of anything else. And I've enjoyed working with that, and I think it's a blessing to them as well, to have a house and have their own place. But we'll be back to normal. As it is, we're only preaching once a day instead of the twice a day. We have our Bible studies in the evening, and so with working 7-8 hours on the house and then preaching and going out late at night when you're with Brent, you don't get home till after midnight, 1 o'clock, and so it gets kind of a long day sometimes, but we praise the Lord that he's allowed us to do this.
Amen.
And Tonight I want to share with you something here in 1 Thessalonians 2, 1 through 9. 1 Thessalonians 2, 1 through 9. This is part my testimony. It's also part of it's my prayer. That which I'd like to be and would like to see accomplished in my life. And in some ways, it's even my confession. That which I haven't achieved and that I've fallen short of. We have Paul here talking to the Thessalonians. Thessalonians. I get my Spanish mixed up here, but here Paul says in verse 1 of chapter 2, "For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain. But even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as ye know at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor uncleanliness, nor in guile, but we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel. Even so we speak not as pleasing of men, but God, which trieth our hearts. For neither at any time used we flattering words, as ye know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness. Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as apostles of Christ, but we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear unto us. For ye remember, brethren, our labor and our travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you. We preached unto you the gospel of God." It says here in verse 1, it says, not in vain. Our labors have not been in vain, brothers and sisters. We've seen people touched by the Lord Jesus Christ via the preaching of the gospel, by those men and women that you have supported, prayed for, and sent out of this church. Men and women that are in different cities and around Mexico, around the world, have been touched by the gospel of God. Their eternal destination has been changed.
Amen.
It's not been in vain. And it's a testimony that we can say that our being in Mexico is not in vain. Even though we are still vessels we still lack much growth in ourselves, we still are usable. We're still able to,
Amen.
To carry the gospel that is perfect, that can change lives. And I praise the Lord that even in this short time I can see fruit. It would be a discouraging thing. It would be something that maybe the Lord knows I couldn't handle to see no fruit in my labor. Even though we should carry on, the fruit just encourages us. It's just a blessing of the Lord, and we've seen the fruit, and it has not been in vain by any way. The expense that has gone out, the money, the time and the labor, the lives that have been sacrificed has not been in vain. And verse two says that we have suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know. We were bold in our God to speak of the gospel. It seems when I first went to Mexico, I worked with Dale and Bill, and as was the practice of most missionaries, it was a very timid type of approach many times. And I guess Bill was the one that saw that it just wasn't having any success. It just wasn't touching hearts. And he started, and in suit, many others have followed, to be more bold in the gospel, to stand up and say,
Amen.
That's what it was. He preached last night, and that was his message. To be infamous in the gospel. Not liked, perhaps, but well known. And this has been our testimony. We have not been well liked, but we have been known. We have been persecuted. And it's got to where it kind of spurs us on. When I'm standing in the street and for weeks there's nobody's even opened the door to look out to see, and I'm shouting at walls and someone steps out in the street so mad and they start cussing at you and they pick up rocks and they throw a few at you. You change your message and start preaching on hypocrites and you head right for them. And that boldness will strike them and they don't know how to handle it. And God has a chance to, in their stillness and their surprise that you really mean what you're talking about, you wake some people up.
Amen.
Paul was bold. And I'm glad to say, I praise the Lord that He's given me some boldness.
Amen.
I still maybe need some more boldness. Maybe I'm still a little too tender but boldness is how Paul preached. Paul preached with the idea that he's going to wake some people up one way or another. He got stoned for it. He got beat for it. We just, we there, especially in August, have made the step to be bold. Jesus said, think it strange to hate you. They hated me. And that's the way it is. Sometimes we want to think, well, Lord, why don't they like me? Here I have what they need, what they want. But they hated the Lord Jesus Christ, the very Savior. They certainly should hate us. We had some troubles downtown. We was always getting pushed around in downtown. And we had the Federalists. They came up kind of incognito, you know. But you can always tell who they are. They got a little bulge in their under their belt. And they come up and they tried to pull Joey off to the side and says, hey, you guys just go on. And Joe said, I'm not leaving. You know, he was a big guy. And little old Joey down there says, you know, you're going to have to carry me off. I'm not going to go. You have no right to push me off. And stood up to this man. He says, well, okay, I realize that. But for your own good, you need to go. And it kind of got away with me. This guy admitted that we had the right to be there, and yet he was trying to shove us off because it's easier to run off two people than to run off the 50 or 60 that were pushing and hitting on us. And so I stepped in and said, well, you got a choice. You can do your job and protect us better in the right, or you can leave us alone and we'll take our own chances. And he says, well, I got a friend that you need to talk to, and he invited us to come down, and we went to his office the next day, and he introduced us to one of his friends, who was also a federal, a young guy, and he took us over to the side, and he very sweetly talked to us how that, you know, we're being very offensive, and this is a real danger to us, and he says, I'm a Christian. I preached in the street for 5 years, and never had anyone get upset with me, no one ever got mad at me, they never threw a stone at me, never even pushed me. He says, I played in a Christian rock band, and we'd go out and play our Christian rock music out in the street. And I told him, I said, well, that's strange. Jesus, when he preached, people didn't like him. You might not have the same message that Jesus preached.
Amen.
And I told him that we see the fruit, the assurance that we're doing right when people treat us as they treated Jesus. Boldness, brothers and sisters, is what Paul and
Amen.
Jesus preached. And by the grace of God, we desire to continue to be bold. Verses 3 and 5. Says, for exhortation was not deceitful, nor of uncleanliness, nor in guile. Verse 5 says, for neither at any time used we flattering words, as we know, nor cloak of covetousness, God is a witness. We don't try to sneak around the back door and steal some out of Catholicism or out of the other religions or even out of secularism. We storm the front door.
Amen.
It's the way it should be done. We had a confrontation. Bill spoke of a confrontation with the Christian Alliance group in Leon. Britt and I had one with the Christian Alliance group in Aguascalientes one night. In both times, they were concerned about their reputation with religion, with the government, not much concern with how they stood before the Word of God. And the one man told us in Aguas, he said, you guys need to be more calm. You need to get to know people and all these things and be a little deceitful, in fact. Not really come forth outright. You're not supposed to preach on images in the street. You're not supposed to declare what God declares in the Word of God publicly if it might offend someone. And we simply told him that we don't want backdoor Christians. If a man has to sneak out of religion to sneak into your teaching, he'll sneak back any time that the wind comes the wrong direction. And we told him, says, no. Says, we want men that'll stand up and walk out the Amen. Front door of their religion and walk into what God has for them and proclaim it in the streets. Because of that, there are men, young men and women, who will stand in the street that were Catholics, that were involved in a religious system and preach the same messages that we're preaching, the same messages that Paul preached. They will be bold. They made their step. They made it public. It's not deceitful. It's not under the table. It's something that is a marvelous working of the Lord in the hearts of men to be honest and forthright of what they're doing. Not as pleasing to men. That's probably the biggest problem. Is we want to please the neighbor. We want to please the guy. We want to preach a message that he's going to like the first time he hears it. Very few times when your dad or mother told you something, you liked it at the first go around. It usually took a few yellings, even some whippings before you understood what dad was trying to teach us. And it's that way with the gospel sometimes. We get in our our thinking and our rut. And it takes a little offense to wake you up. It takes something to stir you up. And I think Paul understood that. And so he preached boldly. And he preached without the trying to please men or put out flattering words. The truth, as simple and clear as it can be put, offensive or unoffensive,
amen,
is what will change the hearts of men.
Amen.
Verse 4 says something to me that is very important. It says, but as we were allowed of God to be put in the trust of the gospel. We talk to unsaved people, we talk to Christians, we talk to all sorts of people, and pride is the number one downfall. Men won't come to Christ because they're too proud to admit that they have no other hope. They say, well, and before I try Christ, I'm going to try my religion. I'll try my good works. I'll try whatever there is. Pride gets in the way with us as Christians too, us that serve the Lord. It says we're allowed of God. It isn't like God come begging for us. So many times we think, well, we're down in Aguas and we had to go because God just needed us there. There was just no other way he could handle the situation. And he's kind of fortunate to have us to carry the banner for him in Aguas. And it's not that way at all. He's allowed us to take part,
amen,
of the greatest work on earth.
That's right.
I praise the Lord that he's allowed me to take part. I just pray that the pride will not come in and build me up to where I think that I'm the kingpin. I'm the one that this thing turns around. Turns around the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 7 and 8 speaks of probably the most difficult thing that we have to do in our personal lives, and says, but we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear unto us. It's talking about a balance here. Somehow, some way that I haven't achieved, and I know very few that have, Paul was balanced. He was bold and frank. He spoke what had to be spoken, but he also loved the people.
Amen.
So many times you just get so wrapped up in preaching the gospel so fervently, and we're so used to the rebuff, the opposition, that we get cold and hard and we lose the love. Without love, we're nothing.
Right.
Our message has no depth. It said that Paul, he loved him, he nurtured him, he effectually desired him. He didn't only just preach to them, but also with his own souls. You know, the Lord kind of woke me up with that here just a month or so ago. I was going through the motions of preaching the gospel in the streets. We've got, it's the same message we preach. We have I have a couple different little areas that I touch, and it always ends up on the same one. I used to think I have four messages, but I just got one message now. And it gets rather boring because we're changing people. There's no sense changing messages. You got the one message that touches people, then just keep using it. It is a boring job usually. It's not romantic and a great thing that some of you might think. So I'm in the rut of preaching the gospel, and I pass out these tracts. We go into some of you don't know, we go down one side of the street, pass out tracts, and up the other side of just one block, and then give them a gospel tract and invite them to come out and listen to us. We're going to be preaching in the middle of the street in 5 minutes. And as I was doing that, I come across this man who was obviously drunk, and he kind of gave me a hard time, and that kind of ticked me off a little. And so when I got done preaching, I went over to talk to the lady that looked interested, that was next to him, next to his house there, the neighbor lady. And we had a few words, and then he came in, interrupted, run her off, and we started in this heated debate. And I was getting so mad, I was ready to punch him out. I was just furious. And I made some comment about his images. He had images on him. His house had images hanging on the front window and all this stuff. And he says, well, my Bible doesn't say I can't have it. And so finally I convinced him to go get his Bible, but he wouldn't come back out. He sent it out with his daughter, little girl. And I said, where's your dad? I want to read this to him. And he says he better not come out here. And so I just shoved the Bible back at the little girl, and she says, you read it to me. I want to hear it. So I'm half mad. So I flipped it open and I'm shouting it so the guy in the house can hear it, and completely in the flesh, completely mad. And this couple come walking down the street that hadn't heard us preach, that were down from the other end of the street. And they come by there, and they stopped in the street, and they listened, and I'm shouting to this little girl standing here. It probably looked a little ridiculous. But anyway, I wasn't in love with this man. I wasn't desirous of his soul. I was out of spite, gonna shake him up or make him mad to come out and fight me or something. I don't know. But this other couple stops in the street and they said, "What are you doing?" "I'm reading the Bible." I said, "What are you reading?" "I'm reading about images. Leave me alone." And they come up and said, "But where is that? Is that in our Bible?" And we started this conversation. And before I know, I'm finding myself, you know, trying to quit being angry, being upset, and trying to deal with them. And before you know it, I have invited over for dinner. I don't think they missed a meeting in 3 or 4 weeks, and then they had to go out of town. But as far as I know, they're still coming to the meetings, aren't they?
Lady got saved.
Huh?
Amen.
Yeah, the lady got saved. And I think her. Yeah.
Amen.
You know, we need to be desirous of men's souls.
Amen.
The flesh can get in the way, but we need to be desirous of men's souls. And I praise the Lord that our work's not in vain, but we need to be balanced, brothers and sisters. That's what happened. This is what Paul's talking about in 7 and 8. He gave his life for these people. Verse 9 says, "For you remember, brethren, our labor and our travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you. We preached unto you the gospel of God." Sounds to me like that we could be accountable to some. Says he preached night and day. He travailed. He preached the gospel boldly. He loved them so that he would not be chargeable. Does that mean that if we're not preaching boldly, that means that we're not loving these people, that we'll be chargeable, accountable for them? I don't understand it all doctrinally, but it looks to me like I got a responsibility. By the grace of God, I want to try to fulfill that responsibility. And I want to ask you tonight, do you want to fulfill the responsibility that God's given you? Lost and dying world, neighbors and friends, family, are you being bold with your testimony and witness? Are you trying to maybe influence them, as was always taught to me when I was growing up in a denomination? They preached the gospel of salvation by faith. They had some quirks, some things misaligned, but salvation they understood was by faith in Jesus Christ. But they didn't want to make any waves. They didn't talk about preaching the gospel. They talked about living it. And the Bible says it's by the foolishness of preaching that men are saved. It's supported by our living, of course. But the preaching is what, it's the boldness to step out and say, "This is what I believe." James talks about it in 3:17. Turn to it so I don't get it mixed up. James 3:17 says, "But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then is peaceable." The order is pure. The order is tell it like it is, and the peace will follow. We're trying to get it turned around, and we're trying to make peace with religion, and then try to tell them how to be pure. But God said, no, first you're going to be pure. First you're going to be bold and stand up and say, "The Lord Jesus Christ says this in his word, and this is the way you live." And when they come to terms with that, then comes the peace. Our goal is to preach the gospel.
Amen.
Boldly, unashamedly, but at the same time we need to be balanced in love. Love that is shown and that's genuine. The world can see a fake 100 miles away. And we need to pray that the Lord would give us love for souls.
Amen.
And we have the message. We have the message.
Right.
Let's preach the message. Let's love some people, and God will reap a great increase.
Amen.